This broadcast of the PJC Media Network seeks to present wholesome, thought-provoking, and entertaining content. However, the views expressed by the hosts of PJC Media are theirs and theirs alone. They do not reflect the views of this network or its affiliates. Please utilize listener discretion.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to the Let's Talk About It with Jenny White Show. Each week, we feature different topics concerning issues that sometimes can be difficult to talk about. These issues concern children and adults who may be autistic, have Asperger's, or have mental disorders of any kind. We will discuss law enforcement and how they interact with these persons. Now, let's start the show.
Good evening, and thank you for tuning in to the Let's Talk About It with Jenny White Show. Tonight, we're doing the history of Thanksgiving. I don't know if any of you already know about it. Some of us did, some of us didn't. But we're going to talk a little bit about it because, well, next week is Thanksgiving, and next Friday, which is time for the show, I will be in Dallas, Texas. So we won't have a show next week, but I'm hoping that you enjoy your holiday as I'm sure I will enjoy mine. Okay, let's get back to the history of Thanksgiving. This is the Let's Talk About It with Jenny White Show.
Just Jimin is a natural line of luxury creams and lotions. From our creamy shade to our thick frappe and our therapeutic body butter, we have eliminated the petroleum, the alcohol, and the water and use natural oils and raw shea butter. Our products are made for the hair and the body naturally. For more information, visit us at www.justjameen.com or call us at 313-279-1494. That's www.justjameen.com.
We're back with Let's Talk About It with Jenny White.
Okay, and we're back with the Let's Talk About It with Jenny White show, and right now we're talking about the history of Thanksgiving. We're going to talk about someone who, like I said, you might know, Quanto, I think that's his name, and he had a lot to do. He was an Indian, young Indian man, okay? He was with the Patuxent tribe, and they lived on the coast of Cape Cod. You know where that is in New England, where in 1614 he was kidnapped by an English explorer named Thomas Hunt. He bought Quanto to Spain, where he sold him in the city of Malaga. Now, we're talking about folks coming over to the States, which they didn't know where they were, but they were just stealing people. Does that ring a bell with anybody out there about folks coming and stealing people? Well, he sold him, and he was not the only one. He was among a number of captives who were bought by local monks who focused on their education and evangelization. So Quanto eventually traveled to England, and from there he returned to North America in 1619. Now, remember, he was gone a long time. And he returned to his native village only to find out that his tribe had been wiped out by an epidemic infection. He was the last one of the Pawtuxet tribe. So what do you think? You know, they came over here and they gave Indians chicken pox and they killed a whole bunch of folks getting their land. So when the Mayflower landed in 1620, he worked to get peaceable relations between the Pilgrims and another local village, the Pequannocks. And he played a key role in their meetings because he spoke English. When he had traveled over to Spain, the monks taught him how to speak English. So when he came back, of course, he and the Pilgrims came. So he kind of, you know, spoke for the tribe to the Pilgrims. He was their interpreter. He lived with the Pilgrims for 20 months, acting as a translator, a guide, and an advisor. He introduced the settlers to fur trade and taught them how to sow and fertilize native crops, which proved vital since the seeds which the Pilgrims had brought from England largely failed. As food shortages increased, Plymouth Colony Governor William Bradford relied on Squanto to pilot a ship of settlers on a trading expedition around Cape Cod and through dangerous waters. During that voyage, Squanto contracted what Bradford called an Indian fever, and he died. And, of course, Bradford said that was a great loss because he was the only one that knew how to navigate and interpret what the Pilgrims were saying to the Indians. But isn't it interesting that they were not only taking Indians and selling them? Like I said, does that remind you of anything? But the good thing is, when he showed them how to sow and do the crops, they were very happy about that. And when the crops came up, they decided that they wanted to have a big party. And they invited Squanto. And they invited some of the natives from the other village. And I guess you can say that had something to do with Thanksgiving. And then we had a president to make a proposal that we would have a National Thanksgiving Day, and it was to be celebrated on the 26th, the final Thursday of November in 1863. That's when President Lincoln said. So he was the one that signed it into law. And in case you didn't know it, that's how we got to have a National Thanksgiving Day. Now, mind you, it doesn't always come on the 26th, because this time it will be on the 28th, but it's always the last Thursday in November. So that was really interesting to me because I had not heard of Squanto. Squanto the Indian, teaching the pilgrims how to plant corn and do all that stuff. That was really kind of nice of him. But I mean, you know, what else could he do? He had no family anymore. So that's what happened to Squanto. Now, I'd like to know, what are you guys going to do for Thanksgiving? What are you going to do? Are you going to hang out with your family? Let us hope that no one will be without loved ones on Thanksgiving, nor food. Let us hope no one goes hungry. Is that too much to ask? I think those of us who have the means, that we should try to assist others. So I don't know. What do you think about it? Let me know. And I'm going to go to a commercial. But when I come back, just press the one and come on and talk to me and tell me what you're going to do for Thanksgiving. And who are you going to be with? And don't tell me you're going to be alone, because I don't want to hear that. So, we're going to a commercial. And this is the Let's Talk About It with Jenny White Show.
Autism affects 1 in 68 children, sweeping all racial, ethnic, and socioeconomic groups. Autism is a lifelong brain disorder that leads to untold challenges to the physical, financial, and social well-being of people with autism and their families. Resources are stretched thin. The Autism Alliance of Michigan, a collective voice for families across the entire state, uses resources to help families battle challenges right here, right now. If you or anyone you know needs help navigating the autism journey, contact the Autism Alliance of Michigan today, 877-463-AAOM, or visit them online at AAOMI.org.
This is Jacqueline Jones Frederick of Jones & Frederick Enterprises, Inc. This incorporation consists of a tutoring business, a tutoring staffing, and a traveling business. We have serviced the community since 2007. Our clients are third graders to college students. We tutor in all academic subjects. Please call Jacqueline at 586-306-5487.
Do you know a youth in need of a place to live? Have you always wanted to make a difference in the city of Detroit, but not known how? The answer to both of these questions is Covenant House, Michigan. Covenant House is a youth homeless shelter serving 18 to 24-year-olds in the city of Detroit with education, resources, job preparation, and so much more. If you'd like to learn more about these programs, please call 313-463-2000 or look us up on the web at www.covenanthousemi.org.
We'll be right back after these messages.
Is your food bland and you want to spice it up? Does it taste like something is missing? What's missing is my seasoning, Butch's Bodacious Seasoning, all-purpose seasoning, good on absolutely everything but ice cream. I'm Linda Porter, President and CEO of Butch's Bodacious Seasoning. To get the spice back in your life, call me at 313-393-2738. You won't regret it. Thank you.
We're back
with Let's Talk About It with Jenny White.
Okay, and we're back with the Let's Talk About It with Jenny White show, and we're talking about the history of Thanksgiving. And I have a caller. Hi, caller. How you doing?
And how are you doing this evening?
I'm fine. I'm fine. Can you, tell us a little? I'm sorry. Go ahead.
And talking about the history of Thanksgiving, it's interesting to note that it's not only celebrated in the United States, basically, but it's also in the country of Liberia. Remember, Liberia was started by a bunch of slaves who left after the emancipation. They left the United States and started the country of Liberia in Africa. The capital of Liberia is Monrovia, named after President Monroe. And they really wanted to try to set up a United States, so to speak, in Africa. And so they called this the nation of Liberia, and they celebrated Thanksgiving there, a day of thankfulness to the God of the universe who set them free and brought them back to their native land. And that was, to me, that was very interesting to see that. When you think about Thanksgiving, everybody has something to say about it. One thing that was interesting when I was reading about it is that the Native Americans here in the United States, they for what they went through when the white man landed on the shores here, especially at the Plymouth Rock, the Mayflower and all of that, they were having problems with the Indian population. And so Squanto, from before, he was able to, when he was taken away as a young man, he was trying to show them certain places. I think it was for trade or something. And they took him, and not only that, but they sailed across the sea and took him, as like you said, with other Native Americans to show what they had, okay? And while he was there, you know, being abducted, he did learn and all of this, but he had to work his way back, you know, trying to get back home to his native world. And what was so sad about it is that the diseases that had just rampant, you know, just running rampant through Europe and Asia, you know, they had the plague, they had so many things, they had syphilis, all of this was running rampant. When they came here, the Native Americans did not have an immune system to fight that. You know, the bubonic plague had to run its course in Europe. They could not stop it at all. It just ran its course. And so what happened here was when he came back, his whole village was gone. A lot of villages had just died out. You know, everything was just the way it was, but people died out because of the problems with disease, measles, and things that they had no immune system for, and which was so sad. But then it's a funny thing. I guess you might say it was a providence of God. That the problem that the pilgrims was having with the natives, he was able to bring some type of peace between them. And then he showed them how to plant the Indian corn. You know, you had to put he showed them how to take it and put a fish in the hole that you made for the seed and then cover it and all of this stuff. And he taught them a lot of things. He taught them how to hunt, things of that nature, because a lot of pilgrims died during those first couple of winters when they were here. Because they just were not, you know, ready. He showed them how to get furs and things of that nature to keep them warm and a lot of things that was necessary for their survival. And what was sad to me, I see him as a person with a broken heart because he was the last of his tribe, you know.
Right, I see that too.
To cohabitate so that he could produce even more, you know. His system probably got stronger in dealing with a lot of those diseases because he was around them. He was able to build up. You know, and it would have been beneficial, you know, if there was, you know, a maid there, someone that he could, you know, he could progress. But it wasn't. And it was a very interesting story about him. And then after all of that, I think William Bradford was over the pilgrims at that time, and he did die, which was a sad occasion. But a lot of Native Americans, even today, do not like the day of Thanksgiving. They say it really should be a day of mourning because of what happened to so many of the Native Americans on this soil because of the health, the diseases, and the, you know, the fighting between them. and the arrival of the white man here on this continent. One particular, you can remember 1969, a lot of the Native Americans took over the island of Alcatraz to show their, you know, they didn't care for the continued oppression that they were under. And from 69 to, I think, about 71, they took over the island of Alcatraz to protest the treatment of Native Americans here. And not only that, it was called the American Indian Movement. They had various protests going throughout the land to show that they were against it, not only Thanksgiving, but the continued oppression. They were tired of it. I was just looking at a special recently, and they were talking about how a lot of the oil companies came on the reservation where these Indians lived, the Native Americans. I keep saying Indians, but the Native Americans lived, and they were pumping oil. They've been pumping oil. But they weren't giving they weren't honoring the contract they had with the Native Americans, and which was so sad. And they were poor. They were, a lot of them didn't have running water. They couldn't do anything. And so this one couple said, "Hey, you're probably my oil, but you haven't paid me." So they turned the oil pumps off. They got the sheriff and everybody to come and say, "You can't do that. That's against the law. You signed this paper." These are just some of the oppressive things that they had to deal with. And so what was sad about it, they were going to put they were older couple. They were going to put the woman in jail. She said, "Put me in jail. Fine, do that. You're not paying me for my oil that you've been pumping for years." And so they finally, I think her name was Ella Cabell, who started, they kept saying, "Well, why don't you just file, just to show you the cruelty, why don't you file, take us to court?" She said, "Okay, we will." And for days upon end, about 14 years, they fought it. A lot of the older people who had started it on their land, they were dying. They had no running water. They had sufficient food. They would give them commodities and things. But when the judge, they finally gave them an appeals judge who was working with them. "Let me see the papers where you paid these people what you were supposed to." Well, they couldn't find it. This was, they kept tying it up in court, And then another president would come on the scene, you know, and it went on for years and years. And the first time that these people realized, finally, any type of money for all this oil on their land was when President Obama took office. And he was able to allot to them $3.4 billion, which was nothing compared to what they should have had. And a lot of the elderly people had died off, never receiving money for their oil. So these were the type of oppression that they've been fighting. And it's, how can you give thanks when you're not doing right, you know, by the Native Americans at all? You're not doing right. These people are on the reservation. Sorry, you limited them, and now, you know, you won't pay them for the oil. The oil company's making billions and billions and billions of dollars, but they would not honor it. And what was interesting about it, this appeals court judge who was handling the case, they felt that he would have gotten a little too for the Native Americans, so they removed him after all those years from the case. He said, "I thought I was here to do my job and to do it well and to call it the way I saw it." But they removed him. John McCain was one that was so asinine and cold toward the whole, when they put him over, you know, the board to listen to the complaint. They talked and talked and talked for all these years. Nobody was receiving any money at all. They tried to find the record. "Well, we have to look over here. We have to look over here. We can't find this." It was all these excuses. So to see that they're still fighting the oppression, now how can we celebrate Thanksgiving when you haven't given us what you were supposed to, but you're receiving yours? And this has been the case for so many other areas that the Native Americans had to face. One of the Native Americans movement, during one of the Macy's parade, they came and took over the Mayflower float that they had on it to protest the treatment of Native Americans. How can you give thanks and you're not doing what you're supposed to, you know? So it's going on and on and on. And then there was a tribe that said, "Okay, let's try to blend in with the holiday of Thanksgiving. We're going to give thanks to get anyway." And they marched in one of the Macy's, you know, that's in New York, parade to show unity there, and that we're for it, and all of this stuff. You know, we want this to be the true way of celebrating Thanksgiving. So it's been a lot. It's been a long haul for them, and I thought that was interesting. One of the dates that I thought was interesting also was one of the earliest dates of celebrating Thanksgiving was in Virginia in 1619. I say, isn't this something? Here we are talking about Thanksgiving, 1619, and in Virginia, and you know what happened in 1619? That was the arrival of the ship that brought about 20 or so Africans here, and it began the transatlantic slave trade. You know, this year we're celebrating 400 years of our presence in this country. It's interesting that it's 400 years later, they also celebrated Thanksgiving.
You know, seems to be a common number for
400.
Yeah, because the Israelites were in Egypt.
Captivity in Egypt, 400 years. God told Abraham they'll be enslaved 400 years. And I would look up the number 400 to see what biblical value does the number 400 have. And it's called a divinely perfect period. And I said, how can that be a divinely perfect period? In other words, I do believe when you look at it from God's perspective, it was something he was trying to get to bring about. When the Jews were enslaved in Egypt, they came in, they were about 70 of them. You know, Joseph was already
right.
There. He was sold as a slave by his brother. This thing of slavery is really, it's something. I guess the only way to travel, what is this? But then what was interesting was they came in as 70 people with Jacob. When they went out, they were a nation. In other words, I think he took it.
2.5 million.
And when they came out, they didn't come out broke either, you know. When you look at it.
But not only that, if you think about it. Now, what's amazing to me is that Pharaoh and his men, his fighting force, they were so hard-hearted that when God removed the cloud so that they saw that the Israelites were walking through the Red Sea on dry land.
Yes,
and them knuckleheads said they were so pissed and they wanted to go after them so badly that they thought they could do that. They could go through the waters too.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, they had endured, well, they had seen 10 plagues. 10.
Miracle.
The last one with the, you know, killing of your firstborn. That was because they killed the firstborn males in the Israelites' families. And God said,
But
anyway, I mean, I think I would have looked at that and said, you know, I don't know if I should go out there. But every one of them.
It was pride. Pride makes you do a lot of things.
Yes, you got that right. And that's why God says he doesn't like pride. He doesn't like a prideful person. Yeah. But I mean, come on now. You're looking at a miracle. A miracle. And you're going to walk yourself into it? Nah, I don't think so. But anyway, I mean, they died. And they all died. A-L-L died. But because it was rain, it was earthquakes, and the wheels came off their chariots.
The hail,
that was what killed a lot of them. And, they floated on, you know, up to the shore. And so the Israelites had, they had weapons that they could use now if they had to fight. I mean, you know, so it. I don't think I would have done that. I don't know how angry I really would have had to been really, really angry that I couldn't see anything but red, and I got to go
that's
get
true.
Them.
That's true.
So,
because, you know, after giving them that position, it is interesting. But it's also interesting to note that just before the problem came with Jacob and the land of Canaan was because of what they agreed. They broke a covenant. Covenants meant a lot back then and there. You know,
it's
every
supposed
time it was
to mean a lot now.
It doesn't, though. They word it differently. They word it so it could be interpreted so many ways that you really don't have anything to fall back on to justify it, you know. What was the true intent of this? What was the true this? What was the true that? All of this. And they could even, a lawyer can take it a million ways, especially with the language. So we really don't have something to really hold on to. But they had broken a covenant with this Hamor who had raped their sister, Dinah. And they said the people there said, okay, we'll be circumcised. We'll do what you say.
He wanted to marry her.
He really loved her. He wanted to marry her, and he did. And then what happened was Simeon and Levi, they went in there when those men were really sick and the fever went up from being circumcised. They killed all the men and took the women
all
and the children out of the head. The other Canaanite tribes, although they were barbaric and everything, didn't like it because you broke a covenant. And they were going to kill Jacob and his 70 people there. And I do believe the one reason why God moved them into Egypt, because Egypt was a world power during that time. And so so when they were stationed in Egypt, they were able to be secure, able to, in one of the best parts of Egypt, they were
not
able
only
to
that, live. Don't forget the famine.
That's true, the famine. Just before the famine was going on, but even before then, I do believe that we can see it as a divinely perfect theory, because what has God been telling us to do ever since Adam and Eve? Be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth. They were able to do that, you know, without any impact.
Yeah, after 400 years, some had been born and died and born and died. And 400 years is a lot of folks.
And even though they were killing them, you know, they still were growing and growing and growing because of the blessing of the Lord themselves. So the number 400 is a perfectly divine period. I can't see how, you know, something is ugly. And so when I think of our enslavement here in the America, the African-American community, we're still dealing with a lot of oppression, a lot of things of that nature. But I'm looking for great things because we're well within the number 400. And I do believe God has something for us that we can truly give thanks for. As you see, Abraham Lincoln, it was during the time of the Civil War that he established it was celebrated by certain countries, certain states and things of that nature, but it was at their whim, you know, all of this. And they said, well, we have to keep religion. It's religion, keep it separate. The atheists came on the scene. Well, you're saying we should be thankful to God. I don't believe in God. All of these people, everything to say about it. But he established it during the Civil War as a national holiday. Roosevelt made it, my understanding, President Franklin Delano Roosevelt made it a day that will be the last Thursday of the month of November. It's considered the holiday that starts all of the holidays, including Christmas and New Year's, Hanukkah, and everything else we want to celebrate. But Thanksgiving to God. And this is the way he saw it, and he established it that way. And it was interesting. It was from 1939 to 1941. And he established that as a holiday. And we've been celebrating it ever since. A lot of the Native Americans, like I say, they told them to go on and to put it as a part of their celebration also. But to remember their ancestors, to remember what their ancestors went through, remember the disease, remember how it wiped out, and to set it up as a prayer and fasting and a time of remembrance as to what happened to them. And so it's been established, well established here in the country, here in the United States, and then in Canada they have it, and also in like the United States and, like I said, in Liberia. And it's been interesting to study it, especially when I saw the date 1619, and that's 400 years from us, you know, when the slaves came over. I thought it was very interesting anyway that we can give thanks on this perfect divine period. How the only God can do that, make it something work. But when I look at it, I was trying to find out where for African Americans, it seemed like from the 20 people that was came here, and then through the transatlantic slave trade, our presence in this country was firmly established. They tried, you know, Abraham Lincoln wanted to, after the war, take all the black people, African Americans, and put them on the island of Grenada so they can establish their own. He said, because you would never be considered equal here in the United States with the dominant race of people. And a lot of the people, we say, we're not going to leave here. We made this country what it is. We're not going to leave here. We have a right to be here like anyone else. And he said, you won't be able to take care of yourself. They said, if we can take care of ourselves, we don't have to deal with the things that the dominant race wants us to do to make their lives easier. And it was true. The period of Reconstruction showed that we were able to move, and we were moving fast in this country. We had our own, we got our own property, but then there was a power there to make sure that we could vote, that we could do. And that was they left the Northern troops in the South. And as you know, the movement in 1877, when Grant was getting ready to leave office, there was a problem as to who was going to be president. They didn't know who would be president because of the problem. So there was a back deal, a deal made in one of the back rooms of the White House. They said, okay, you want the Rutherford B. Hayes, you want the president, we'll give it to you. What we want you to do is pull all the troops out of the South. And that's what they did. And that's when everything changed. And from my understanding, it did not go, we had no rights or no privileges or anything until the Civil Rights Movement, when it started with our Dr. King, when we started to protest. That was 100 years later. It's sad to say that, but it did happen that way.
Yeah, and, it's still going on.
But as I say, this is a divinely perfect period. And I do believe we as African Americans should look to, I say, miracles to happen. And I am looking for it to bring us up to snuff in this country, full citizenship status. And that's only God can do that. And so I've been thankful that, you know, reading about Thanksgiving, the pros, the cons, the ups, the downs, all of this. And I was really thrilled when I saw that date 1619, one of the earliest times that it was celebrated in Virginia. And so that's all I have to say, Ms. Jenny White, for tonight. You don't have to put my little 2 cents in there. Into the program. And I'm thankful for the program. I'm thankful that we are able to look to the future with some hope. You can't live without hope. And
that's
do believe
for sure.
That, Thanksgiving, even in the, if you could say with me, no matter how bad things are, how bad things look, if we can look up and have hope, we have something to fight with. When you don't have, you can't live a day without hope. And I do believe that's because we have so much suicide things going on among the young people, the old, elderly,
right.
All of this. And like I said, Ms. Jenny White, thank you so much for allowing me to share on your program.
Well, you know what? I always enjoy you. You always come with so much information, you know, about all these topics.
Go ahead. I enjoy Black history. I enjoy history. To see how it, you know, how it impacts. And again, thank you so much for allowing me to share with you.
Oh, you're very welcome. I appreciate you. So if I have anyone else who wants to talk about Thanksgiving, you're welcome. And I'm going to take a break and we'll be back. This is the Let's Talk About It with Jenny White Show.
Want to start a business or have tax issues? We know exactly how to handle your individual needs. We personalize each individual and give you the time required to focus on your needs. We audit you before the IRS does. The IRS is not on your side, but we are. We set up companies, do tax preparation, tax and retirement planning, bookkeeping, IRS audits, and reviews. Please call me, Deborah Mitchell, owner of Mitchell & Company, for a free consultation at 248-354-5122. And visit my website, MitchellTaxAccounting.com.
This is Dr. Joanne Dixon, pastor of the Living Word Evangelistic Missionary Church at 2234 North Front Street here in Philadelphia. Join us Sundays at 10 a.m. for Sunday school and at 11 a.m. for morning worship. Prayer and Bible study on Wednesdays at 7 p.m. You can follow us on Facebook or dial 267-314-5220. We are a loving church and a learning church, which make us a growing church. God bless you.
We'll be right back after these messages.
Magnify His name with Elder Charnell P. Blaine and Divine Purpose. For all ministry engagements, contact us at area code 267-240-0709 or email us at dpministry01@aol.com. You can also follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. And we're never too tired to give God an unconditional praise. Magnify His name.
57 South is a user experience design and development shop located in Philadelphia. We have over 12 years of experience in the visual communication field with a long list of satisfied customers. We provide innovative solutions for existing and emerging platforms. Got a plan? Let our team of talented professionals help bring it to life. You can reach us at 215-701-3934. You can visit our website, www.57south.com. We look forward to kickstarting your next project. Thank you. Have a great day.
It shouldn't be as hard to find a graphic designer with great customer skills. Over 20 years of experience at an affordable price. Accent On Design by Luz offers you personable service with great attention to detail. Find me on Facebook at Accent On Design by Luz. Email aodbyluz@gmail.com or call 267-753-5936. If you can imagine it, I can help you create it.
We're back with Let's Talk About It with Jenny White.
Okay, and now we're back. This is the Let's Talk About It with Jenny White show. We're talking about the history of Thanksgiving, and we learned about Squanto and him being abducted and being able, that's what's fascinating to me, after him being over in Europe for so many years, he was able to come back home. But because of the epidemics, you know, with the medical epidemics, he was not able to be with his family because they were all wiped out. So we think the tradition started here with the pilgrims, but while the tradition is mainly connected to the pilgrims, the Puritans started the tradition before coming to the New World. The Catholic Church had instituted so many special days of remembrance. Remembrance, thanks, feasting, fasting, and resting, that they wanted to remove all the holidays and only celebrate days of thanksgiving or days of fasting. These were observed after an act of special providence, which was a disaster or threat of disaster that the Puritans believed was a result of judgment from God. Events observed with days of thanksgiving include English conquering of the Spanish Armada in 1588 and the 1606 gunpowder plot catastrophe. While the American tradition is believed to have origins with the Pilgrim's Meal at Plymouth in 1621, this event was not given proper documentation, and many do not wish to involve the relationship of the settlers with the Native Americans on this holiday, given the two groups' violent history. The story goes that after the Pilgrims' Plymouth colony had a difficult winter filled with disease, starvation, and death, the colony received assistance from Squanto and his Pawtuxet tribe. The Native Americans allegedly taught the pilgrims to grow their own crops and other methods of survival in the New England environment. In particular, the method of using fish to fertilize corn crops. After their first successful harvest, the pilgrims celebrated with a feast at which Squanto and members of his tribe were in attendance. Now, that's one story. But coming back, Quanto's tribe was gone. It was totally gone because of the medical epidemics, the diseases and everything. The story is widely debated as similar stories originate from Spanish settlements and other groups of settlers. Due to this, the story is widely regarded as a cultural myth. In fact, it is believed that Squanto knew how to communicate with the settlers because he was previously enslaved by John Smith and taken on several voyages back to England before returning to his homeland to find the Patuxet tribe eliminated through disease, which was spread by the settlers. Okay, we know this. We know this. We know that they, the people that were coming from England, wanted to get rid of them. So with no home tribe, Squanto also called Tisquantum, settled with the English at the Plymouth colony, later serving as a guide and translator for the settler as they visited Native American tribes. But many of these tribes distrusted Squanto for his allegiance with the settlers. The holiday's true origins are attributed to the Puritan Feast of Thanksgiving, a tradition which many pilgrims observed in the New World. Now, it should be, I mean, I think that Thanksgiving should be with families. But you know what? You don't just have to wait for Thanksgiving. Why do we wait for Thanksgiving? Thanksgiving celebrations in the United States used to differ according to state. It was traditionally celebrated on the last Thursday of November in the early 1800s. Sarah Josepha Hale is a writer known for campaigning for an official date for 40 years through letters to political leaders. In 1863, President Lincoln issued a proclamation that all states will celebrate Thanksgiving on this day. This act was an effort to unite the North and the South. But due to the rebellion of the North's authority, the holiday was not consistently celebrated on the same day until after the Reconstruction. A joint resolution was signed by Congress and President Franklin D. Roosevelt in 1941 to change the holiday to the fourth Thursday of November rather than the last, believing the earlier economic boost to be beneficial to the United States economy. So Lincoln said the fourth Thursday, which would be the last Thursday, and President Roosevelt in 1941 wanted to change it to the fourth Thursday of November rather than the last. So I think the fourth, that is the last. Anyway, it's so much. A lot of families have a hard time with the holidays because they don't have families. And then others have families and they can't get along. And then there are others that are all alone. And if you know someone who is going to be alone on Thanksgiving, and if you have the means, it would be kind of nice if you invite them. I mean, no one should be alone on Thanksgiving. That's not to say that no one will be or won't be. So we just kind of keep our eyes and our ears open. Some people observe the holiday through charity work. Some people have churches. Church services, rather. Some people go down and, you know, they serve at kitchens. We've done that. My family has done that. We go to the soup kitchens and hand out food. I like doing that. I really do. And some cities hold festivals or parades. We do that too. One of the largest parades, though, is New York's Thanksgiving Day Parade, which is currently called Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade. It begins in the morning, and it goes down Central Park West to Macy's Herald Square on 34th Street. And over 2 million people attend the parade annually, and is second oldest Thanksgiving parade, with Detroit's America's Thanksgiving Parade behind the Dunkin' Donuts Thanksgiving Day Parade in Philadelphia. So they did mention Detroit. That's interesting. Many countries all over the world celebrate a day of thanks, many of which center on a successful harvest season. Canada's Thanksgiving is very similar to the American celebration, marking the successful harvest of French settlers in modern-day Canada. This celebration takes place in October, when the weather is warmer. Germany celebrates the Harvest Thanksgiving Festival in October, which, like American celebrations, consists of feasting and religious traditions. The Japanese observe Labor Thanksgiving Day. It has its roots with harvest celebrations, but now celebrates labor, production, and thankfulness. The Netherlands observe a Thanksgiving Day service to honor the pilgrims that lived before continuing on to Plymouth. So a lot of people celebrate, and I would just like to say I'm hoping that all of you listening will have a great Thanksgiving. And like I said previously, if you know someone who might be alone, invite them. If you're, you know, going to have a celebration, and if you're the person who might be alone, why don't you call somebody up and say, hey, what you doing? And I'm sure they'll invite you over. We don't want anyone to be alone on Thanksgiving, on these holidays. And as I said before, next week, next Friday, there will be no show because it will be the day after Thanksgiving and I will be out of town. So don't look for us on the day after Thanksgiving. And I'd like to thank you for calling in. And if you called in just to listen, I really appreciate you as well. You know I do. I really appreciate Miss Lucy because she's so full of information all the time. I just love that. So I thank you all, those that spoke, those that you didn't. And please have a good holiday. And before I go, I'll just want to say, you don't have to be great to start, but you do have to start to be great. So I'd like to leave you with that. And I'll say good night. Have a great weekend. This has been the Let's Talk About It with Jenny White Show. Good night.